Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're continuing our series on joy in the midst of trials. Joy in the midst of trials. Joy, again, is the deep down sense of well-being, comfort, security, safety that abides, lives in, takes up residence in, dwells in, and is settled in the heart of the person who knows with deep and abiding, settled assurance and absolute confidence that all is well between himself and the Lord. So much so that when folks hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil, and there's a pandemic and ethnic unrest and all other kind of things going on, that we can still rejoice in that day and be exceeding glad and leap and skip and gallop for joy, because our reward is great in heaven, and that reward is that we are still all well between us and God. Amen. Are we starting to get a hold of that for real, for real? I hope that you're seeing it in your, really manifested in your life beyond Wednesday and Sunday, because you have an ample opportunity as soon as you walk out the door. Whoosh, all the stuff comes back, you know, family problems, job problems, societal problems, ethnic problems, whatever. And we can really practice walking in that kind of joy. How can we do that? Is that we conform, be not conformed to this world. Let's stop thinking like the world, having ideas like the world, being involved in theories and philosophies like the world, mannerisms, speech, style, and habits like the world. Mm-hmm. Instead, let a transfiguration happen. Yes. Let who we really are on the inside come bursting forth on the outside like the noonday sun. Yes. So that it is undeniable that this person walks with the Lord. And even if I don't know, because I'm a sinner and I don't really understand what's up about this dude or this dudette, but because they are so starkly different from what I'm used to seeing, something is different. They ought to see your other than-ness. Amen. Amen. You might know what the Greek and Hebrew word for that word, other than-ness, yes. Holiness. Oh. Holiness means to be other than. That's why God is holy. He's other than and unlike anyone and anything else, period. He is unmistakably God. There is no denying his holiness, period. And although we won't reach that level of holiness, we are to be aiming and directing our lives toward that holiness, because he said, "Be ye holy as I am holy." And it ought to be crystal clear. And so who we are cannot be hidden, as Jesus said in Matthew. We are the light of the world, city set on a hill that cannot be hid. And so as our minds are renewed and we no longer look like the world, we just position ourselves to be joyous in the middle of trials. Mind renovation, mind renewal is accomplished by the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Now, when we talked about this, we're not to just act joyful. We're not to just act joyful. One commentator put it this way: we're not to just act joyful in reluctant pretense, but to be genuinely joyful. And we know why that can happen, and that's because we are genuinely at peace with God. If you are truly born again, then all is well, and you know that. See, there are many Christians who are truly born again, but because they aren't taught the whole counsel of God, and because there's always a political mindset, a politician's mindset of the pastor to be politically correct, and make sure that his approval meter is high and things of that nature, rather than just teaching folks the word of God, then there are a lot of Christians who don't even know that what joy really is. They don't know that it differs from happiness. They don't understand that it is completely spiritual and inward. It is something that is completely spiritual and supernatural. And you don't know how to even walk in it because you don't know what it is or that it even exists, because you're getting it confused with happiness. Jesus didn't say, "My happiness I give to you." He said, "My joy." And he says, "I gave it to you as a legacy from what I'm doing so that your joy may be full." Not just trickles, but full joy. But we've asked this question before. How many Christians that you know whose life is characterized and marked by joy? I can't say too many, to be honest with you. I'm not saying you never have troubles and things of that nature. I'm not saying any of that. We're learning that external circumstances, situations, and people and so forth are not to affect our joy, because they have nothing to do with it. People, circumstances, external things on this earth have nothing to do with our joy. Our joy is completely because of our relationship with God and his relationship with us. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you just called, hope that put a new spin, because they got real quiet when I said that the first time, even though we've gone over that and over that and over that. And I know I'm not naive. I understand you got to hear things 100 times and then you might be able to get the first word in the sentence. I know it takes time. You can kind of help speed that up by meditating the word, as we've been begging you to do for over 20 years, those who've been around that long. Amen. Hearing it one time, hearing it on a Sunday or on a Wednesday or a Sunday and Wednesday only is not going to cut it. It must be a lifestyle. It must be a lifestyle. Homework assignment for the church. For the next rest of October, I want every day. I know that's a tough assignment. Every day. Psalm 119. I think there's 150 verses in there. Put it on. Some of the Bible, they read to you, whatever. Get through it once a day. Every day. Meditate the word. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I rejoice in your testimonies as much as in all riches. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to his word. They'll just come out because you hear it and hear it. Now, I'm cheating because I got a 2-day jump on you. That's why it's just coming out. But I just let it play and play and play all night long, all day, every day, all day. Just let it play and play and play. And as you notice, every verse in there, you can basically just about turn it into a prayer. Amen. Almost every verse. So when I'm hearing it, I'm talking just behind it in prayer. So how I love your law. Lord, help me to love your law. It's my meditation. Help me to meditate on the word all the day. How can you make keep his word pure? Help me to keep my way pure. Help me to guard it according to your word. You could turn it into a prayer all day. You want to be on fire and with peace and you know, great peace I have who meditate your law. It works. That peace is real. The pandemic ain't gone nowhere, to be honest with you. And ethnic unrest, the presidential election coming up, so I think people are getting skittish and more anxious. But I just have great peace. Great peace. Who love your law. All that is in Psalm 119. Just meditate it every day, rest of the month. Every day. I mean every day. And meditate. Just let it play and play and play and play and play. You want to walk in that genuine joy? Walk in the word of God. You want to walk in real joy where you're not pretending? Let the word of God saturate your heart, mind, and soul. I guarantee you. I saw it firsthand back in 1968, in July. My dad died Thursday, July 11th. The funeral was the following Wednesday, July 17th. I saw it in my mom like never before. Here she has, her husband dies suddenly, and she has 5 children, youngest 4, the oldest 12. And you're walking in that kind of joy. It was just incredible. And you got to believe, you have to believe that Mother Harris is no one special than any other child of God. Amen. Because the word, if you're born again, is available to you as well. But I tell you what she did. I heard it and saw it. She had the word on all the time. She had the word on all the time. And when she wasn't on it, she was singing all the time. I'm just trying to get us to see the word. This is right here. You don't need another book. Just right here. Of course, you got to be born again because the spiritually discerned, the natural man, the sinner man, cannot understand because they're spiritually discerned. But if you're born again, no excuse. No excuse. There's no excuse. If you're still languishing, there's no excuse. To walk in genuine joy in the middle of trials is a matter of will. W-I-L-L. That's right on time in the notes. That's perfect to go right into that. It's a matter of will, not of feelings, and should be the conscious, determined commitment of every faithful believer. Now, I kind of messed up a little bit because those you're taking notes, you know I'm going to amplify the word will. Got to. So just put it right up underneath there then, because you also would have put it in between. But I wanted to read the whole thing again. It is a matter of will, not of feelings, and should be, it's not, but it should be the conscious, determined commitment of every faithful believer to walk in joy in the midst of trials is what we're talking about. We talk about conscious, determined commitment. You're talking about it's intentional, it's purpose, it's on purpose, it's predetermined. I mean, it's not a casual, flighty thing. Let's get to the word will. Will means mental powers manifested as choosing, I'm going to read it a few times, comma, desiring or intending. A fixed, persistent intent or purpose. The capability of conscious choice and decision and intention. So read it again. The will. It is a matter of the will, not of feelings. Will again. Mental powers manifested as choosing, desiring, or intending. What does that mean? That means that your mental powers are manifested, being put on display. We can see it. By the fact that you're choosing, desiring, or intending. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. David said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me. Forget not one of his benefits, I think is what it is. What is he saying to his soul? Soul, bless the Lord. That's a decision. I'm not going to let the troubles. He was facing all kinds of troubles. And he was a terrible father. Terrible father. His own sons chasing him out of the kingdom. He's got to hide from his own sons. But even then, God was gracious. And even then, he knew that he could still count on the Lord. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. See, that's intention. That's a conscious decision. The mental powers manifested as choosing, desiring, or intending, semicolon. A fixed and persistent intent or purpose. A fixed and persistent intent or a purpose. I'm fixed. I'm going to be persistent in it, in my intention or my purpose, which is to bless the Lord, be joyous in the middle of this trial. You can see why you have to have that, because a trial can be heavy like the Leon Five faced. And yet they came out singing on their way to being burned. My Lord and my God. You don't get to that point playing church. You don't get to the point just showing up on a Sunday and showing up on a Wednesday. So here I am, and do nothing else in between the other days. That, what the Leon Five experienced and many other martyrs, is a result of absolute intention and persistent purpose. You best believe that. Mm-hmm. And you can think that every time they were in that prison, knowing that every day they went by, every hour they went by, they were getting closer to being burned alive. How torturous and painful that's going to be. And yet and still, they had saturated themselves so. And as John Calvin, Brother John, told them, I suggest you look heavenward. Yeah. Set your affection on things above. Because all that's down here will pass away. Peter says it's going to burn up. Fervent heat. All that's going to burn up. Don't set your hope down here. You will be of all men most miserable. Man, glory be to God. So, mental powers manifested as choosing, desiring, or intending. A fixed and persistent intent or purpose. We got that? Okay. The capability of conscious choice and decision. The capability of conscious choice and decision and intention. So you're consciously choosing, you're consciously making a decision, and you have conscious intent. You are fully aware of what you're doing. That's the will. I will be joyful because I can be joyful because Jesus told me to rejoice in the middle of these trials. So I'm going to do this. I need to read all that again. Okay. Mental powers manifested as choosing, comma, desiring, or intending, semicolon. A fixed and persistent intent or purpose, semicolon. The capability of conscious choice, the capability of conscious choice and decision and intention. I guess you sure went through that a whole bunch. Yep, to let you know, it's not a light decision. It's purposeful. It's persistent. It is it's with intent, a fixed and persistent intent. I like that. Fixed and persistent intent. Fixed, I'm not backing off, I'm not wavering. Persistent, I'm not going to stop with this fixed intent. And it's an intent or purpose to do what? Achieve what it is that he's commanded us to do. So it's a decision. I'm going to obey. He said, count it all joy, count it full joy, rejoice and be glad. Matter of fact, leap, skip, and gallop for joy. Those are commands. The question is, are you going to do it? Am I going to do it? Yeah, that kind of genuine joy is a matter of will, not feelings. And let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. You will never feel like being joyous or walking in that joy when all hell is breaking loose in your lives, in your head, in your heart, in your emotions, your mental, your physical. Just not going to, in family members, you're not going to feel joyous. So thank God it is not a matter of feelings. And I pray, Father, that it is a conscious, determined commitment of every believer in this house tonight, in Jesus' name. Further, my notes, and because God commands it, listen to this good news. It is because God commands it, not a suggestion. It is then within the ability, under the Spirit's provision, of every to Christian, we can do this. We can do this. Do what? Rejoice in the middle of trials. Because God commands it and the Holy Spirit empowers us to do it. Now, what you need to understand is that you can't grit your teeth through something like this. You can't make yourself have joy apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. You need His super on your natural.
Absolutely.
We got to have that.
Amen.
That's spelled G-O-T-S. Got to have it. And because God commands it, we can do it.
Amen.
With the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
The more we rejoice in our testings, the more we realize that they are not, I love this, liabilities, but privileges. Now, we don't like to hear that, but the more we rejoice and see the outcome of what's going on, the more we do that, we'll realize they're not liabilities, comma, but privileges. Hardships are not liabilities, but privileges that are ultimately beneficial and not harmful. They are liabilities. They are not liabilities, but privileges that are, in the end, ultimately, are beneficial and not harmful, no matter how destructive and painful the immediate experience of them might be. That takes a lot of growth to get to that point, that this is a liability. Remember at the end, talking about Calvin saying that it's good for us, no matter how bitter, it's sweet to us because it comes from your hand, Father, our kind Father. And we realize that He's just preparing us. Since He's working all things together for good, then can you understand why none of those are liabilities? Can you understand that? If you just understand that one verse, since God is working all things together for good, your good in time, His glory, good in His glory in eternity, then therefore everything that comes your way, they are not liabilities. It's a privilege because He doesn't have to grow you. He could just let you skate through life on flowery beds of ease and you never grow. For those who understand weightlifting and so forth, and sports and so forth, if you lifted 5 pounds, it's easy, it's great, I don't have to put in much effort, are you going to get stronger?
No.
Never. Wow, this is easy. You twirling that dumbbell like a baton, you know, throwing it up in the air, you know, like you're the drum major, because it's so light. Yep, and you're weak as water. That's why it's not a liability. It's a privilege. He's spiritually shredding our spiritual muscles. And when those muscles begin to heal, they're bigger and stronger and can even lift more weight. See, that's the part that's hard to teach, but the truth is He wants you bigger and stronger so He can hit you with more weight. Pastor, can we talk about money coming to me right now? Can we just say that? Why don't you just play just 5 minutes of Joel Osteen so I can get through this? No, because that's not going to help you. That's a liability. That's what's a liability there. So our testings, our troubles, our hardships, our jobs, you know, working in, you know, in the den of iniquity. Having nephews that just won't act right. Sons and daughters, cousins, you know, just road rage, pandemics, ethnic unrest. All of those are beneficial. They're privileges. Because they're beneficial. And the only way we'll ever get to that place of seeing it as a benefit rather than a liability, the only way we'll ever get to that place is through constant practice, mental, constant practice. Because it all starts here. All starts in the mind. It's how you view the situation. Even the world will tell you that on the secular side. It all starts here. If you're in your mind saying, man, ain't no way. Nope, I'll never get there. Then you'll never get there. That's why we're saying it's because you don't feel it. I'm not feeling that. But thank God that joy works outside of our feelings and not in conjunction with. Thank you, Lord, is right. Amen. That's good news. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Look at verse 13. The only way we'll ever get to that level of thinking, seeing hardships, trials, and tests as privileges rather than liabilities. You got to practice something. Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 13. And get your pens ready. We may stop after this one because just kind of need to let it just marinate and unwind. Look at Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. We're going to read both of them. Verse 13. Okay, we got it? Okay, thank you. For everyone who partakes only of milk, I'm reading from the New American, only of milk, meaning milk is all that they consume, they only drink milk, is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. King James has babe, but doesn't mean not a child or a baby. Not an infant, rather, but they are immature. That's what that means. They are immature. Immature meaning those who are not grasping and apprehending spiritual concepts. They're just not grabbing it. One of the reasons that we don't grab it is we aren't being taught it. And if you haven't heard it, And you're just starting to hear it, like, I don't get that. It's like trying to start out in geometry and you haven't learned the basics of, you know, of addition and subtraction, multiplication and division. Because basically, once you learn those four concepts, math is pretty much just offshoots of all of those four concepts, addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. If you want to just jump into geometry and learn those things, you're not going to grasp these concepts. But the problem is that if you haven't taught the four, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, and you're still not grabbing them, there's something wrong. That's what Apostle Paul tells them that. In 1 Corinthians 3, he said, or it might be here, where he tells them that you have need, that someone, you ought to be a teacher. So, but now you still need somebody to teach you. Verse 12, yeah. Yep, the one right before it. So that's a problem. There's a reason why we're not grasping. One, we're not meditating. We're not obeying. Mm-hmm. We're not studying. And the big two reasons are you're not meditating and you're not obeying. Because knowledge apart from obedience is not worth two dead flies. Mm-hmm. Knowledge apart from obedience, amen, it's nothing. That's academic. It's just like an academic coming in here saying, oh, I understand the Bible, you know, Jonah was on the boat and he understands the boat, it sits on water, he dived into water. You know, a person can understand natural things that the Bible talks about. But all the spiritual behind it, they'll never get. We're supposed to get it. If we're not in obedience, we're not in meditation, we got all kind of things happening in the world that are flooding our mind. We are conformed to this world. you're not going to get the concept of the things of God because you got too much junk in your brain and you're in disobedience. So if your mind is not flooded with the word of God, you're not obeying the word of God, you're not going to understand the word of God. Those are enemies to spiritual growth and maturity in Christ Jesus. So all we can give you is milk. Basic concepts. Basic spiritual concepts. We can only give you milk. Verse 13 again. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is immature. They can't grasp anything but those lightweight concepts. But solid food or meat, verse 14, is for the mature, who because of practice, now they sort of have given a little bit of insight as to what, why the one is mature spiritually and the other is not mature. One is practicing and one is not practicing. Hold on. Don't we have the opportunity to practice the word of God every day, all day? Every day, all day. And if you don't understand that, then I've failed you as a teaching pastor. I've talked to you about uncles, aunties, cousins, family members, co-workers. Everybody's testing you one way or another. Or just life itself, health challenges, mental challenges, emotional challenges. You have an opportunity to fight every day using the only weapon at your disposal, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We can get good at this. All day, out there every day. Just, you know what I'm saying? No days off. We know we're taking days off. I had 10 straight jumpers yesterday. Good enough. In practice. I'll take the day off. And then tomorrow, look cold outside. Maybe we take the next day off too. And that's what we do. Next day you took a week off. Then you wonder why you blindsided when the test comes. It's not if, it's when. Hello? When? We're going to be tested. For us males, girl come by looking like America's Next Top Model. If you're not in the work, Psalm 119, how can a young man keep his way pure by keeping it according to your word? That won't rise up in your spirit if it's not there. She helping me to preach it. She said, if it's not there, you have been, ooh. Shake your head, baby. That's right. And you a child. I'm Reverend Do Right. How you doing? Really? After seeing that, all that, you gonna introduce yourself as Reverend Do Right? You a reverend? Let me know what church you pass, so I won't come to that one. The word has got to get into our heart, our head, and then down into our hearts. And that's done with practice over time, over and over and over and over and over and over and over. It's not by accident that some people are more mature than others. I've told you this for years. You can grow in Christ Jesus as fast as you want to. Because the Holy Ghost in Christ Jesus, God your Father, is not blocking you from growth. He wants you to grow. Amen. And those, if you've been sent here by God, you're being positioned to really grow because you're getting the word every Sunday and Wednesday. And we have the website to keep you locked in, giving you homework assignments, whatever it is, to just the word front and center. Yeah, I would like to have a little fancier website, but you know what? It's functional. You can get the word, download it. We got to find out how to get into the podcast thing, too, so we can get on that app. So, Drew, we got to work on that. Yes, sir. So I appreciate that, because we don't realize unless somebody tells us. So we got to work on how to get into that where you don't necessarily, if you can't get online. So, because it's all about getting the word. Yes. It's about getting the word. We were talking to, I don't know who, maybe my nephew. I was finishing up on one of our marriage ceremonies, a marriage pre-council. And I told him, I see you way ahead of me. Because I don't know half of what you know concerning the word. Mm-hmm. And but what I did have as a great desire was to go get the word. Yeah. I sought the word.
To obey the word.
Exactly. And to obey the word. Not only to get it for getting its sake, thank you, but to obey the word. If there begin a life of practicing the word. Practice. Because once you find out what to do, and then it's up to you to do it. That's why you come to church. One of the reasons is to find out what to do. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, Lord Jesus Christ. Learn. That's why it's called Word of Life Christian Learning Center. It's the full name of the church. Because we're here to teach you how to be a Christian, how to be a child of God, and walk in that. And to walk in holiness, which means to live a life of holiness. Living means thinking, speaking, and doing, which makes up a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Practice. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained. Practice, that word means. It's a Greek word which refers to a habit of the body or mind. That's it. A habit of the body, and in this case, the mind, which will affect the body. A habit of the mind. Habit. Nothing can become a habit but through practice, but through repetition. Even a bad habit is through repetition. Because you're doing, if you can do the wrong thing long enough, it'll become a habit too.
Amen.
Habit of the body or mind. It speaks here of the habitual use of the perceptive facilities or senses, which are being vigorously exercised. So when he says, because of practice, he's talking about the habitual use of the perceptive faculties or our perceptive senses, which are being vigorously exercised. Senses, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, seeing gets us in a lot of trouble. Hearing gets us in a lot of trouble. But the good news, let me control myself, is that because of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost, you can train vigorously your senses to stay in line with the Word of God. That's good news. We are not bound by what we see just because we saw it. Not if we've trained ourselves with the Word of God. How can a young man, a young woman, a child of God, keep their way pure by guarding it, protecting it according to your word? Because when you see something, what the sight of what you're seeing, when you hear something, the audio of what you just heard is going to produce thoughts in your mind. Because you've seen it, or you've heard it, or you've tasted it, or you smelled it, going to produce thoughts. So at this point now, that's why this, your perceptive faculties or senses, are to be vigorously exercised through training. Then come up, pray pure. No, I made a covenant of my eyes. Not going to look at that. Speak the truth in love. You know what? I'm just talking silly. I'm jesting. That these are idle words. Jesus said, I give an account for every idle word. Let me shut up and stop talking crazy. Oh, Jesus said, whatever you give attention to, whatever you hear and pay attention to and give validity to that, then that's what you'll reap from that. So if you're hearing something crazy, out of order, ungodly, and you give credence to it, give value to it, then it's going to come back on you. You know, if you're believing that, then that's what you're going to reap. You don't want to be believing things that are not godly. You don't want to be hearing things that are not godly. Why? Because it's going to affect you. It's going to affect you. I'm not talking about a quick hear. Depends on what it is. So let's be careful with that. Better not to hear it. But if you're in a situation where you can't help but hear something, the protection of the Holy Ghost, the power of God, the grace of God, the mercy and compassion of God is still on your life, and he'll help you to walk that thing out. Because there are places, oh my Lord, pulling up at a red light and, you know, somebody come next to you. Horrible, filthy, terrible lyrics to a rap song. Absolutely vulgar. And I got my wife and we had to roll up windows, turn on our thing, right? Turn the air up, something loud just to drown out the noise. Not trying to hear that. Practice is intentional. It's deliberate. It's purposeful. Practice is intentional, deliberate, and purposeful. I say practice is intentional, deliberate, and purposeful. It's not by accident. It's never by accident. And the thing about it is, we all have the skill to be mature in Christ Jesus. Now, understand, Tiger Woods, you can practice as much as Tiger Woods. If you don't have the skill level that God gave Eldrick Tiger Woods, you'll never get to his level. But in Christ Jesus, we all have Tiger Woods level. Thank you for saying amen like that. Because it's always, well, he's the pastor, so that's just you. You know, dude, you know, we out here trying to get away the best we can, you know. No, that's an excuse. It's a cop out. I don't feel like going in the rain to practice. He practices in the rain, that's just him. He's more disciplined. I wasn't born disciplined. I wasn't born a pastor. I wasn't born a Christian. There is no excuse. Careful, because laziness is a sin. Be not slothful. You think I feel like sitting down in that chair to get in front of this word? I don't always feel like it. But so what? Who cares? Let's stop listening to our flesh. You've been told, for some of you, 2 decades, your flesh will never want to do anything pertaining to the things of God. Mm-hmm. That's a given, y'all. So quit listening to that fool. Pastor Paul, 1 Corinthians 9:27, I buffet and beat my body, make it my slave. I control this. Flesh, you not running me. I'm going to run you. You will sit in this chair and you will turn off the TV, or you will come out of the sun. You want to sit in the sun and feel the breeze and get into the word, because I'm telling you to do that. It's choice. It's deliberate. It's intentional. Mm-hmm. It's purposeful. Amen. That's what practice is. We'll read the definition again. It's really, really a blessing. It refers to the habit of the body or mind. It speaks here of the habitual use of the perceptive faculties or senses, which are being vigorously exercised. Vigorously exercised. Vigorously exercised. This ain't no light thing. Because you're going to see stuff. You're going to go home and be seeing stuff in the dark. Man, I ain't never seen that before. Yeah, because you just got the word. The devil trying to come and snatch it away. I wouldn't be surprised. You see all kind of things, hear all kind of things, smell everything. Lord, what the world is going on? Oh, I got an enemy here. I got an enemy. Mm-hmm. Isn't that great to understand that? I got an enemy. Let me tighten up. Mm-mm, I'm tightening up. Put that word on. Speak it. Oh, I'm going to keep my way pure. I'm going to guard it according to your word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your word is a light unto my path. And I'm going to hide your word and store it up in my heart in abundance that I will not sin against you. Notice it's the word and all of that. How you keep your way pure? Guarding it according to your word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your word is a light unto my pathway. Mm-hmm. I'm storing your word in my heart in abundance. I love your word. It's my meditation all the day. I did find your word and I ate it. That you may grow, drink the sincere, pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It's the word. This is the food. This is the weapon. And this is why it's under such tremendous attack in today's quote unquote evangelical church. Because if you get the word out of there, I got you. The devil said, I got you. Because I can't deal with this. Anything else other than the word, I'm going to wear you out. And he's wearing us out. Let's finish this and we'll close. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses. What is that talking about? Spiritual faculties of perception or discernment, intellectual understanding, judgment. Read that nice and slow again. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained. Senses again is spiritual faculties of perception or discernment. What does that mean? Spiritually speaking, who lives on inside of you? Right? The Holy Spirit, the great teacher, shows you things to come, guides you in all truth. He's a comforter. He's your helper. He's your consoler. He's your, I miss some other things that he does, your teacher. He's your guide. Right? So, you're coming up on a situation, maybe at work, maybe walking down the street, I don't know. But you're about to come into something. And you're not sure in your own natural self what's going on. But the Holy Ghost said, you know what? Go to the other side of the street and walk past them. Maybe because I don't want you to see what's up, what they're doing. I don't want you to hear what they're saying. Wow, in my own natural mind, like that was just a little innocent little group, you know. But because the Holy Ghost helps you to discern and trains you to do so, you're like, man, let me go on over to the side and walk on down the street. That's practice. Don't like, well, I'm going to keep going because that don't look like nothing. That's not practice. That's you practicing what you've been doing. Let's stop that. So let me take that away. That is practice, but it's the wrong thing. It's the wrong practice. It's going to lead you in the wrong way. When he's talking about spiritual faculties of perception or discernment, you're perceiving and discerning things and then making a judgment. No, that's not of God. No, that's not true. That's why we go here and study things like Black Lives Matter. The discernment is the difference between the movement and the statement. So we got to be able to discern. That's a classic. That's a good one. We just want to just jump in. Said that again. We want to just jump in, and because we just kind of just, let's no longer blindly just jump into stuff. Forget that. That day is gone. We're going to spiritually discern and faculties of perception. So it's spiritual faculties of perception or discernment, intellectual understanding, judgment. You train your senses. You don't just blindly run into stuff. It may sound good on the surface, but if I can pull out my referee's flag and the coach calls for a review, then the referee comes back and makes the call upon further review by the Holy Ghost. That is not a good move. Mm-hmm. upon further review. You know, the Lord will present something to you just to see if you are going to put faith in him. Or does the opportunity look so good you just rush into it? Instead of saying, hold on. Lord, is this you? Because all that glitters ain't God. Mm-hmm. Have their senses trained. Your spiritual faculties of perception and discernment. Your spiritual intellectual understanding and judgment. Have it trained to discern good and evil. Trained means to discipline. Through vigorous exercise. Have your senses trained again to discipline through vigorous exercise. To bring under control. Trained again to discipline through vigorous exercise to bring under control. Train what? Your perceptive faculties, your senses. To bring your perceptive faculties, your senses under control. Just because you saw it don't mean it have to dominate you. Just because you saw it doesn't mean it has to dominate you. Give me a moment. Thanks for your patience. I'm not sure why this cuts off, but amen. I want to reread this. I want them to hear it. Thank you. Let's talk about trained again. Trained means to discipline through vigorous exercise. You catch the word vigorous. To bring under control. What is he training? What's being brought under control? Your mental, spiritual faculties of perception. Is being vigorously trained. Vigorous exercise. Bring under control. All of this is to result in the formation of mental habits. So as you are disciplining through vigorous exercise and bringing under control, you're beginning to form mental habits that are controlled by the Word of God. Remember when it said in 2 Corinthians 10, it talks about that we are to bring into captivity every thought, yeah, to the obedience of Christ. Yeah, that's what this vigorous exercise will result in. You're like, nope, that's not a good thought. Holy Ghost, do your thing. Meditate the word. Romans 3. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern, which means to discriminate, distinguish, or determine, not discriminate as in, but to make that the judgment between good and evil, to determine good and evil. And in this context, good and evil, we're talking about good and wholesome teaching or evil and hurtful teaching. And a lot of us don't even understand that. I'm going to go over this again next week. Because we it's come at the end. I know we're kind of tired and things like that. And I understand that too. But this is really, really rich. It's really necessary. It is the key to spiritual growth and maturity. And if you want to walk into the habit and have the strength for joy in the middle of trials and then embracing trials or hardships for the glory of God, this is the key. This is it. This is it. It starts here. It starts here. And the Lord knows it. That's why we read Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then we come over here saying if you want to be mature, you have to practice your senses and train them vigorously to discern good and evil. That's good, that's evil. That's good, that's evil. Because in our own self, apart from the Holy Spirit, we may say, that's good, and that's good, and that's good. Wow, all of it is evil. We just got happy. Because we can't do it. We can't discern it apart from the Lord.
Yes.
So do you understand we got a homework assignment for life? You got to train. And I believe I'm hearing the Lord. This is perfect. Psalm 119, rest of this month. Every day, 150 verses. Man, that's a lot of verses, man. If someone said, read these 150 pages every day, and you get $1,000 at the end of each time you read it. We're like, oh man, no problem. This is way, way more valuable than $1,000 or $1 billion per day. Way more valuable. We're talking about being set up for walking in victory when all hell is breaking loose. Having peace in the middle of a storm. So much so that it passes all understanding. It doesn't even make sense. How can I have peace like this at this time? That's invaluable.
Amen.
And y'all, let's hit the practice field like never before.
Amen.
1, 2, ready, break.
Yes.
Father God, we need you. We need you really, really bad. Can't do without you. Because, Father, we need to form habits of our body and our mind. We need to habitually use our spiritual, our perceptive faculties and vigorously exercise them. Help us to have our senses, our spiritual faculties of perception and discernment and judgment and understanding, to train them, to discipline through vigorous exercise, and to bring them under control, to discern, discriminate, distinguish, and determine what is good and what is evil. Ooh, well, we need you, Father God. We can't do it alone. Teddy Pendergrass said, we need some help.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Glory be to God. No more backward thinking. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.